keeping our brains healthy is critically important to our physical bodies and our mental abilities. Perhaps that's why about 65% of people surveyed internationally were concerned about losing memory or thinking ability after anesthesia. The stakes are high. It's The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. Researchers are trying to measure just how much damage happens when the brain endures major surgery and anesthesia, and balance that with the risks we take on when we avoid procedures. What questions do you have about the effects of surgery on the brain? What concerns you about going under? Have you had a surgery that required doctors to put you out? Would you make the same choices again? 800-642-1234. Dr. Robert Sanders is an assistant professor of anesthesiology at UW-Madison. He's lead on a recent study published in the British Medical Journal that looks at the effects of surgery on cognitive ability. Dr. Sanders, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Questions about how major surgery affects the brain have loomed, but your study offers some clarification on that. What did you learn?
So it was really important for us because of what you alluded to in the introduction there, that patients have this concern about whether they're going to be the same cognitively after a major operation or not. And there were several problems with the literature in previous studies that had been conducted because they hadn't, unfortunately, taken into account the fact that, unfortunately for all of us, from middle age onwards, we're on a very subtle cognitive decline. And that cognitive decline accelerates with each decade that passes. This study, which we conducted, was able to take into account that natural age-related cognitive decline, as well as multiple other confounding factors, to really be able to drill down on the absolute risk associated with surgery, at least in this data set. And we were relatively reassured by the findings. We did find that major surgery did have an effect on cognition. So, I mean, obviously, just that statement itself can provoke some concern. But the reason we were able to detect this was because we had a very large sample size and we used quite sophisticated statistical methods. Actually, what we found was that the impact on the brain was equivalent to about 5 months of cognitive aging.
Yeah, and it sounds like you couldn't measure it very well individually as a person, but you tested 7,500 patients?
Right. So we took advantage of some extensive work that had been done over 20 years in London. The primary study, the Whitehall study, is based at University College London. And they'd followed, as you say, they initially recruited 10,000 patients, and then they had 7,500 patients do this cognitive testing over 20 years.
And so let's take a step back for a second. Did your study look at the effects of anesthesia on the brain, or is this generally major surgery and how the brain responds?
So unfortunately, the way that the UK data works, you might hear that I'm from the United Kingdom, the UK data which we had access to doesn't explicitly define the type of anesthetic that the subjects, the patients, were exposed to. We know what type of operations they had, and these major surgical procedures, which we primarily studied, generally associated with general anesthetic, but we didn't explicitly have those anesthesia data so I can pinpoint and say this is an anesthetic problem or this is a surgical problem. Either way, it's a relatively small effect which we were able to detect. And we also studied patients who had medical admissions who didn't get exposed to anesthesia, and they had a much larger effect than the surgical admissions. So we think that any contribution of anesthesia may be small.
All right. We have a call now. Let's go to Poppy in Madison. Poppy, what's your question this morning?
Well, I was, he kind of just answered it a bit that anesthesia effects were small, but my son has had 13 surgical procedures before the age of 9 that have required general anesthesia, keeping him under sometimes as long as 6 hours. And I was curious if they've had any findings to see if there could be effects of memory loss, as you were saying, or any kind of behavioral change, maybe anxiety, OCD, or anything like that, that could potentially be directly attributed to the procedures or the anesthesia.
Poppy, thanks for that question. Dr. Sanders, what about anesthesia in children's brains? Do we know anything there?
Right. So that's an excellent question. We were studying adults, and I was involved in studying sort of the effects of anesthetics on neurodevelopment in a prior life in the United Kingdom. We've had a couple of large clinical studies come out in the last 2 years, which have suggested that anesthesia, when exposed with one single anesthetic, doesn't cause neurobehavioral or cognitive issues in children. There have been epidemiology studies which have suggested that with multiple operations, that effect is amplified and that there could be a signal there. But it's incredibly hard in all of these studies, both the adult study which we've done and these studies in children, to understand what's causing the problem, what's the effect. Now, the children and adults, when they need operations, have a reason to have them. They're not healthy at the baseline, and that's likely to be at least as big an effect as any interventional effect of the surgery and anesthesia. And certainly as anesthesiologists and surgeons, we're hoping we're doing patients favors by operating on them. So unfortunately, I don't have a clear answer because the data are not there yet, but there's been reassuring data in pediatric anesthesia as well to suggest that anesthesia is not causing long-term harm with a single exposure anyway.
How permanent or temporary is a decline in mental capacity from surgery? What do we know?
Well, so our study in adults looked specifically at that. So when you have an operation, what is the immediate change in cognition? And so the main interpretation of our study was that there's a permanent change which is equivalent to just jumping ahead 5 months when you're healthy on that cognitive trajectory. We don't know in children yet. We don't have any way of specifically estimating whether there's a permanent effect on what that permanent effect would be.
I'm Keely Boltina, and Dr. Robert Sanders is an anesthesiologist and researcher at UW-Madison, and he studies the effect of surgery on memory and on thinking ability. And we're taking your calls. What have you heard about anesthesia that concerns you? Have you ever avoided surgery because you worried about how it could change your brain? Did the opportunity for surgery to correct a health condition outweigh the risks? Let's talk about it. 800-642-1234. You can also email your story to ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Sanders, who were you looking at for this study? I mean, what were the conditions of their surgery, and does that matter?
Right. So we looked across a wide range of surgical procedures. So that included big cardiac operations, big vascular operations, big abdominal operations, big joint surgeries. And we to be included as a major operation, patients had to stay at least 2 nights in hospital. What we found, as I say, was that there was this increase in risk in those procedures. But in surgical procedures where you didn't require a 2-night stay in hospital, we did not find any effect on cognition.
And in that international survey we referenced earlier, that 65% of people are concerned about losing memory or their ability to think after being put under anesthesia. I wonder if you have any idea how we can attribute those fears. What might that be based on?
Well, so, I mean, at least in the anesthesia literature, since the 1950s, there's been this concern that anesthesia is not reversible and that it leaves this imprint on the brain that is manifest as cognitive impairment. And it's a very reasonable concern that the patients have. I mean, they go through a very stressful life event that's associated with pain, and then they have to rehabilitate over several months. And they feel that some patients feel they don't get back to where they started to quickly. And I think all of those are valid and reasonable concerns. And we're looking at, well, what's the permanent imprint on the brain? And the permanent imprint on the brain is quite subtle. But there's all these other associated features of this very important life event that we need to consider that make people anxious about whether they're going to be the same again afterwards.
Can we draw a direct line, though, between the anesthesia and the surgery to the effects afterwards?
Right. No, that's another great point. We have to be cautious about that because we know that when we compared the groups in this study, we took people who are completely healthy and didn't have hospital admissions compared to people who did, either from surgery or medical admissions. Well, the people who are having major surgery are not the same level of health as the people who don't need to have major surgery. We know that those subjects are different. And so you can think of this 5 months as the upper limit of what we can attribute to the actual surgical intervention, with the rest being associated with the actual pathology, which makes the patient need to have surgery.
When you talk about the effect on the brain, you know, you're discussing it from this frame that it's less than we thought before. I'm not sure that everybody really understood before that before where we thought it was more significant. So when we look at it from the opposite perspective of not realizing surgery or anesthesia might age the brain, 5 months can seem like a pretty significant jump ahead in time for that healthy brain. How should we think about that in a calm, kind of pulled together way? Because that, I mean, 5 months is significant still.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I'm not trying to brush this under the rug and say that this isn't important. I mean, our research mission is to make surgery and anesthesia safe for patients and to make sure that they can not incur this risk if possible. And so in no way am I trying to dismiss this as an important finding. And again, what we're framing this reference into is that there's been a concern in the literature, in the scientific literature, that the effect is much more profound than that. We were able to detect a subtle difference. And to give you an index of whether this of how small this effect is that this would be less than a 1-point change on the cognitive tests. We were only able to detect this because we had 7,500 patients. So we're right on the limit of detection of finding this cognitive issue. And if you think back to 5 months ago, if over a relatively healthy period, I mean, personally, I don't think I was very different 5 months ago cognitively. Obviously, that changes with age and with other factors, but we think this is reassuring. It's certainly more optimistic than the prior literature had suggested.
Important context. Dr. Robert Sanders stays with us as we talk about surgery and anesthesia and his research about how much procedures age the brain. What do you want to know about the brain and surgery? Email ideas at WPR.org or give us a call at 800-642-1234. Tell us, what was surgery like for you? Were you somewhat conscious during a procedure, or what was it like coming out of the anesthesia? Have you noticed a difference in your ability to remember things or think clearly? Share your experience. I'm Keely Boltina. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. All major surgeries include risk, and we're talking with a doctor here in Wisconsin about new research about the brain after anesthesia. His findings show the brain does age because of surgery, but it might not be as damaging as we used to think. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. Even when surgery is crucial to their health, some people opt out because they're afraid they won't be the same person after, that they could become disabled or that it will change their personality. Have you avoided surgery because you were afraid of what it would do to your brain? Maybe you decided to go ahead with surgery. Share your experience. Did you feel like yourself right away, or did it take weeks, or do you think that experience changed your brain forever? 800-642-1234. Dr. Robert Sanders is our guide in this conversation. He's a UW-Madison researcher and anesthesiologist. Dr. Sanders, you've had people ask you whether they should have surgery because they're scared they won't be the same afterwards. What do you say to them?
Yeah, I mean, this is a conversation I've had with my parents even, and it's a very important conversation. You have to weigh this up. Surgery has risks. Anesthesia has risks. Overall, obviously, we wouldn't be doing things to patients that we think would cause them harm. We are obviously acting, we think, in the patient's best interest, trying to improve their health and therefore their quality of life. So we have to weigh up the potential quality of life benefits against any small risk of harm. And that will depend on the specific procedure and the specific complaints a patient has, as well as their other health issues. And that's a very important conversation which should be had with your physician, the surgeon, the anesthesiologist, to make it absolutely clear before you have surgery what the risks are.
Does it matter what kind of surgery and anesthesia we're talking about? I know we saw some research about nitrous oxide or laughing gas coming into vogue for pregnant women during childbirth. I mean, do we know what kind of effect different kinds of anesthesia have, or are we really talking about general anesthesia?
Right. So the different drugs act in specific ways to produce a sort of similar state. So it's not inconceivable that different drugs could have a different effect on cognition long term. And for example, ketamine, which has been an old anesthetic drug that was developed in the 1960s, is now emerging as a therapy for depression. So there's no doubt that the drugs can have effects on cognition. And in the case of ketamine, there's a new therapy there for depression. Nitrous oxide has been used safely in childbirth for decades. I practiced in the United Kingdom before coming here, looked after many laboring women who use nitrous oxide. In fact, my wife, who's an obstetrician and gynecologist, Dr. Helen Manning, she had laughing gas for all of our three children, and we wouldn't have done that if we didn't think it was safe. All drugs need to be monitored. All drugs need to be used appropriately. But in the context of good clinical care, drugs can be used wisely.
Let's go to the phones now. John from Boaz, welcome to the morning show. What's your question?
Yes, I was wondering if the effect of anesthesics are similar to that of having a concussion, because I had experienced a severe head injury where the swelling was so intense inside my brain from contusions that they wanted to drill to relieve the pressure. But it seems to me that they're very similar. If the drug puts you in a state of, I would say, coma, it's similar to what happens with a concussion.
That's a good question, John. Thanks for the call. Dr. Sanders, John's hearing some similar symptoms between concussions and anesthesia. Are these different situations, or is the brain reacting similarly?
John, I very much like your call and like your question. It's a quite insightful idea. I think that the key thing that can happen in anesthesia and surgery that could affect the brain is the inflammatory response to surgery. This is based off animal work that has been done in many centers across the world, but also at UCSF and Duke, where they've shown that the inflammatory response to a surgical procedure conducted under anesthesia causes memory deficits in animals. So it could be similar to the concussion, where you have an inflammatory response in the brain, which contributes to brain swelling, that the inflammation affects the brain. Another alternative in the perioperative period is that there are mini strokes which can occur. And we just took part in a major study that was published in The Lancet involving over 1,000 patients, where we looked for mini strokes postoperatively. And we saw that mini strokes can occur in up to 7% of people postoperatively. Now, we don't know what the cause of those mini strokes is, whether it's related to inflammation, the surgery, the anesthesia. But that's another important area of research which we're going to pursue to try and make surgical and perioperative care safer for our patients.
Dr. Robert Sanders teaches anesthesiology at UW-Madison. He's also a researcher. I'm Keely Boltina, and we want to know, what questions do you have about the relationship between surgery and memory or thinking ability? 800-642-1234, or you can email your story to ideas@wpr.org. Let's talk with Jim from Stitzer this morning. Jim, what's your story?
Well, I just have a comment to make. A few years back, I had a couple of major surgeries. And all told, in a four-year period, I was probably put under anesthesia about five times. And I had no ill effects, no memory loss. There was just one instance where I was I had trouble coming out of it. I guess I was fighting, arguing. But once it broke, I was fine. So I just want to say anesthesia had no ill effect on me.
Sure. Jim, thanks for that experience. Dr. Sanders, let's talk then about what happens when you go under anesthesia. Are you unconscious?
Right. So that's another area of our research and that we're very passionate about, because we know that patients expect to be unconscious under anesthesia. We did a study, a major international multi-center cohort study published in 2017 to look at this just after intubation. Which is a procedure we do to help support people's airway during general anesthesia. And we found that up to 5% of people may be able to respond to command after that time when we assume that we've induced general anesthesia. And so, you know, while this was a much smaller estimate than the 40%, which we had predicted based on the prior literature, meaning that, you know, our general care is pretty good, I'm not sure all patients think that 5% risk or 1 in 20 risk of waking up at that point is okay. And that's something else we're striving to improve. It's worth stating that patients didn't remember that event. They rarely reported pain at that event. So the actual consequence of that event is unclear. But still, we're striving to improve anesthesia care to make sure that we meet patient expectations as best we can.
Sure, because the patient experience is important. Do we know if the brain is, if there's actual consciousness there, or if that's something that the brain is responding to the stimulus from the outside, or can we really know?
Right. So, I mean, the only way I know, Keely, that you're conscious is that you're talking to me and describing me and you're a human being. I mean, you could be a robot, but I believe you're a human being.
I am a human being. Yes, I can confirm.
That helps. So I mean, I'm by inference, I'm basically saying that, you know, I know you're conscious, you're a human being. So if I ask a human being to respond to me and they respond, I believe they're conscious because they're a human being. So I have no other way of demonstrating that, whether you're awake or asleep under anesthesia, than asking you a question, getting you to respond. Mm.
Interesting. Let's fit in one more call here. Sue from Waukesha, what's your question this morning?
Good morning. My husband had a green laser surgery. About 2 months after that, he had begun to have experienced finger use difficulty, which got significantly worse over that year. He had to have open heart surgery and had significantly had to learn to walk and talk and, you know, function, and his hands became worse and worse with use of that right hand. So my question is, have they changed the anesthetics over the last 10 years into different new drugs? I know you alluded to the fact that you hadn't had that part of your present study, but are they doing another study perhaps that will measure different anesthetic drugs' effect?
Sue,
so it's a two-part question.
Thanks, Sue. We just have a brief time left. Dr. Sanders, what do you know there?
So there haven't really been new drugs in the last 10 years. We're always learning how we can use our present drugs better, how we can monitor the care better, and how we can improve outcomes for our patient. Major open heart surgery is associated, unfortunately, and occasionally with neurological injury, and I'm very sorry if your husband experienced that, but we're striving to make things better.
Yeah. Dr. Sanders, I appreciate that, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Robert Sanders is an assistant professor of anesthesiology at UW-Madison. He recently led a study published in the British Medical Journal that looks at the effects of surgery on cognitive ability. This is The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.